Protestantism in Hungary and Transylvania. Chapter 2. Protestantism flourishes in Hungary and Transylvania. One very remarkable characteristic of the progress of Protestantism in Hungary was its silence and its steadiness. No one heard the fall of the Roman hierarchy. There was no crash as in other countries, and yet it was overthrown. The process of its removal was a dissolution rather than a destruction. The uprising of the new fabric was attended with as little noise as the falling of the old. The Bible, the pulpit, and the school did their work. The light waxed clearer every hour, the waters flowed wider around every day, and ere men were aware, the new verdure covered all the land. Young evangelists, full of knowledge and faith, returned from the Protestant schools in Germany and Switzerland, and began to publish the gospel. Some labored among the mountains of Transylvania. Others evangelized on the plains and amid the towns of Hungary, and from the foot of the Carpathians to the borders of Turkey and the confines of Germany, the seeds of truth and life were being scattered. As Luther and Zwingli and Calvin had been the teachers of these men, they in their turn became the instructors of the curates and priests, who lacked the opportunity or the will to visit foreign lands and learn divine knowledge from those who had drawn it from its original fountains. In proportion as they discovered the way of life, did they begin to make it known to their flocks, and thus whole parishes and districts gradually and quietly passed over to Protestantism, carrying with them church and parsonage and school. In some instances where the people had become Protestant, but the pastor continued to be popish, the congregation patiently waited till his death, and then called a preacher of the Word of God. Three things at this time contributed to the progress of Protestant truth in Hungary. The first was the conference at Schaßburg. The news spread through the country that the priests had been unable to maintain their cause before the evangelist Santi, and that the king had stood by the preacher. After this, many began to search into the truth of the new doctrines, who had hitherto deemed inquiry a crime. The second favorable circumstance was the publication, in 1541, of an edition of the New Testament in the Hungarian language. This was the work of John Sylvester, assisted by Count Nádasdy, to whom Melanchthon had given Sylvester a letter of recommendation. The epistles of Paul had been published in the Hungarian vernacular, at Krakow, in 1533, but now the whole New Testament was placed within reach of the people. The third thing that favored the Reformation was the division of the country under two rival sovereigns. This was a calamity to the kingdom, but a shield to its Protestantism. Neither Ferdinand I, nor John Zápolya dare defend their great Protestant nobles, and so their persecuting edicts remained a dead letter. It seemed at this moment as if the breach were about to be closed, and the land placed under one sovereign, whose arm, now greatly more powerful, would perchance be stretched out to crush the gospel. In the same year in which the conference was held at Schaßburg, it was arranged by treaty between the two kings that each should continue to sway his scepter over the states at that moment subject to him. But on the death of John Zápolya, without male issue, Hungary and Transylvania should revert to Ferdinand I. When the treaty was framed, Zápolya had no child. Soon thereafter he married the daughter of the King of Poland, and next year, as he lay on his deathbed, word was brought him that his queen had borne him a son. Appointing the Bishop of Grosswardine and Count Petrovich the guardians of his newborn child, Zápolya solemnly charged them not to deliver up the land to Ferdinand. This legacy, which was in flagrant violation of the treaty, was equally terrible to his son and to Hungary. The widow, not less ambitious than her deceased husband, caused her son to be proclaimed King of Hungary. Feeling herself unable to contend in arms with Ferdinand I, she placed the young prince under the protection of Solomon, whose aid she craved. This led to the reappearance of the Turkish army in Hungary. The country endured, in consequence, manifold calamities. Many of the Protestant pastors fled, and the evangelization was stopped. But these disorders lasted only for a little while. The Turks were wholly indifferent to the doctrinal controversies between the Protestants and the Papists. In truth, had they been disposed to draw the sword of persecution, it would have been against the Romanists, whose temples, filled with idols, were specially abhorrent to them. The consequence was that the evangelizing agencies were speedily resumed. The pastors returned, the Hungarian New Testament of Sylvester was being circulated through the land. The progress of Protestantism in Hungary became greater, at least more obvious, than ever, and under the reign of Islam the gospel had greater quietness in Hungary, and flourished more than perhaps would have been the case had the kingdom been governed solely by the House of Austria.